नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 15, Text 20. Soham Nripendra Rahitak Purushottamena Sakya Priyena Suhrida Hridayena Shunya Advani Uru Krama Parigraham Garakshan Gopai Rasad Virabale Vani Vinirjitos Mi Soham Ripendra Rahitak Purushottamena Sakya priyena suhrida hridayena shunyam Advani uru krama parigraham garakshan Gopai rasad birabale vavinir jitosmin Soham ripendra rahitak purushottamenam Sakya priyena suhrida hridayena shunyam Advani uru krama parigraham garakshan Gopai rasad virabale vavinir jitosmi
Mataji.
I forgot actually. Om Agyanati Mirandasa, Gananjana Shalaka Yachak Shumita Mirata, Smai Shri Gurave Namaha. So we can start. Saha, that Aham, myself, Nripa Indra, O Emperor, Rahitaha, bereft of Purusha Utamena, by the Supreme Lord, Sakya, by my friend, Priyena, by my dearmost, Suhrida, by the well-wisher, Hridayena, by the heart and soul, Shunya, vacant, okay, Advani, recently, Urukrama, Parigraham, the wives of the all-powerful, Anga, bodies, Rakshan, while protecting, Gopaih, by the coward, Asadih, by the infields, Abalaiva, like weak woman, Vinejitahasmi, I have been defeated. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. O Emperor, now I am separate from my friend and dearmost well-wisher, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore my heart appears to be void of everything. In His absence, I have been defeated by a number of infidel coward men while I was guarding the bodies of all the wives of Krishna. Purport. The important point in this verse is how it was possible that Arjuna could be defeated by a gang of ignoble coward men, and how such mundane coward men could touch the bodies of the wives of Lord Krishna, who were under the protection of Arjuna. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakura has justified the contradiction by research in the Vishnu Purana and Brahma Purana. In these Puranas, it is said that once the fair denizens of heaven pleased Ashtavakra Muni by their service and were blessed by the Muni to have the Supreme Lord as their husband. Ashtavakra Muni was curved in 8 joints of his body, and thus he used to move in a peculiar curved manner. The daughters of the demigods could not check their louter upon seeing the movements of the Muni, and the Muni, being angry at them, cursed them that they would be kidnapped by the rogues, even if they would get the Lord as their husband. Later on, the girls again satisfied the Muni by their prayers, and the Muni blessed them that they would regain their husband even after being robbed by the rogues. So in order to keep the words of the great Muni, the Lord himself kidnapped his wives from the protection of Arjuna. Otherwise, they will have at once vanished from the scene as soon as they were touched by the rogues. Besides that, some of the gopis who prayed to become wives of the Lord returned to their respective positions after their desires was fulfilled. After the departure of Lord Krishna, he wanted all his entourage back to Godhead, and they were called back under different conditions only. So here, again in this verse, we have Arjuna is still speaking to Maharaj Yudhishthir. And here Srila Prabhupada, in a purport, he points out impossibility, you know, how Arjuna, who is great warrior, big fighter, you know, could be defeated by ordinary coward boys. And by group of thieves, I find out in Mahabharata they are called Abhiras, who were inhabitants this jungle area, in that area. And how is possible that wives of Krishna can be touched by anyone, especially these low-born guys, you know, like our hearts. So in a purport, we find out then great Acharya Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, he find out in Vishnu Purana and Brahma Purana, then everything has reason, then, you know, Ashtavakra Muni, he gave blessings to special denizens of heavens who are very beautiful, and they were serving him, and he is giving them blessings. They can be in the future. They can have Krishna is his husband, but because they love to him, you know, this also lessons for us. You know, sometimes tendency, if you're not completely pure, we try to find some fall in this devotee, that devotee, this is our condition from time immemorial. But when we read that, you know, you start to be purified. You cannot do that. So you should always respect everybody. So, and later on we find out then Krishna actually appear like... instead of, he was actually these rogues and these bad guys, and he actually so-called beat up a little bit, you know, he was fighting Arjuna, and actually he saved actually Arjuna in some sense, because nothing even happened to him, and because it's explained in previous verses, then all his power was withdrawn from him. Because why? Because it's not necessary to have it anymore to go home back to Godhead. So this what's happened. Yeah? So I was thinking when I was preparing class, you know, many devotees, when they prepare class, they, for sure, you know, many story from Srimad Bhagavatam or maybe from Chaitanya Charitamrita come in, you know, in your mind, you remember that, and you can connect it, same kind of situation, you can find that verse, connect with some other verse to illuminate it, what we are reading here from different point of view. In this way, we can align it ourselves more and more. And in my mind came like two story. I was just mentioning a little bit, you know, story from, you know, Sri Prahlad and Shihadev. You know, Prahlad. No, actually, this story also shown how Krishna, in same time, do very different, simultaneous things. In same time, he keep intact the words of Ashtavakra Muni, because he is supreme God. He satisfied desire of every living being in the universe according to their karma and their desires. But in the same time, he protects his devotees, like his wives. So he is so, you know, in some sense he's very tricky. But this trickiness we can see in a story of later on. I will tell another one. But I will just mention a story of Prahlad and Shihadev. How Prahlad, he was, you know, pure devotee, born in a family of the biggest demon in the, for all time, you can say, in universe here in Kashipu. And but we know actually then here in here in Kashipu, he was actually devotee who was coming from Vaikuntha, like Jai Vijay, Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, and he was cursed to, you know, to be, he had choice to be like, or three lifetimes you can be like demon, or seven lifetimes you can be devotee, you know, so what you like. He said, I choose to be demon, just three lifetimes, no big deal. So he did it, and in the story we see that Narsimhadev, he appear, and very tricky, you know, he killed them, even he has so many benediction, you know, I cannot be killed in this way, that way, you know, and this long story, I mean, I just mentioned a little bit, and so he did it. say, kill them, kill him, and save his son. I mean, say, son of Hiranyakashipu, his pure devotee, Sri Prahlad. On another story from Mahabharata also, how, you know, when Arjuna was fighting in battle of Kurukshetra, so many most powerful, you know, warriors than him, and Krishna said, even there is statement that like Karna was maybe on the same level like Arjuna, but Prabhupada said actually Krishna, Karna was more powerful than Arjuna. What to speak about Bhishma Deva and you know, others, they were very, very powerful. So what's happened, you know, when Bhishma Deva was attacking Arjuna, he wanted to kill him, one point of time he was so, you know, so powerful, he was using all kinds of celestial weapons, and Arjuna was on the verge to be killed. But what did Krishna do? He's so tricky. He actually, before war, he was saying to Duryodhana also, when Duryodhana and Arjuna came to him, you know, he gave to Duryodhana, opposite party, bad guy, one of the Kurus, he told him, you know, okay, I will not fight, but I can, you can choose, you two guys, you can choose, you can get me, or you can, you know, I can be, you can choose me, or you can choose my army. So Duryodhana, who was military genius, he said, okay, I want your army, and Krishna said, I want you. So Krishna was choosing to be like God. He don't fight, but he chose to be chariot driver of Arjuna. And so when Bhishma was, you know, smashing him like anything, so Bhishma said, he actually broke the promise to not fight. But actually, even that, he didn't fight. He actually took the wheel of the chariot, which is not a weapon, and he was going after Bhishma Dev, and Arjuna was coming after him and grabbed him, you know, cannot stop him. And Krishna wanted to smash Bhima, but everything is an arrangement of Krishna, everything. So sunset came, and after sunset, you know, there's like rules, there's no fight anymore. So so Bhima was again saved, even Bhishma Dev was saved, who is also pure devotee of Krishna, and he keeps still promise, basically he didn't fight, you can say. So so there's many stories like that, how you can connect actually what's going on in this verse with, how Krishna deal is so expert. So I was thinking, let me maybe connect some verse from Bhagavad Gita, what Krishna said in Bhagavad Gita, connect with this verse. So I took Bhagavad Gita and I started to read, I didn't know which verse I want to choose. So I start to read, from first verse of first chapter, and I start to finish first chapter, and I went to second chapter, I went to third chapter, and I just cannot stop. I just, oh my God, I had to read, continue, just reading. And it took me maybe like 2 hours, and I finished all 7 verses of Bhagavad Gita. And I realized, oh my God, Krishna is so great. So basically, I was thinking, Arjuna, he heard Bhagavad Gita in, I hear statement, I don't know where is this statement, maybe Archita know, in 45 minutes, he heard, and what he did, he remembered all these verses, and he decided to fight. So basically, he realized all these verses. When I start to compare myself with Arjuna, I said, oh, I know this kind of fellow, I know so much great scholar, So, and this kind come to me, different kind of realization. And after so many years of, reading Bhagavad Gita, listening class, I grasp a little bit some kind of realization for what? You know, what is our victory? You know, to develop this love of God, love of Krishna. So this is what actually all this Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, what is no different from Krishna, Chaitanya, Charitamrita, means to be, you know, to develop like tools to develop our love for God. So anyway, when I was, I come to the verse, I just want to relish here, like 9:10, the most confidential knowledge. And where it goes like this, just in a translation, you know, this material nature, which is one of my energies, is working under my direction, O Son of Kunti, producing all moving and non-moving beings. Under its rule, this manifestation is created and annihilated again and again. You know, just think about when you read that. Just think about what does it mean. And another one is, the whole cosmic order is under me, under my will. It is automatically manifested again and again. And then under my will, it is annihilated in the end. So if you go deeply into like in purport of translation of this purport of this translation, and if you connect with all this story, how everything is like an arrangement, everything smoothly going on under supervision and control of Krishna, any kind of detail of this story, what we read today, small story. So basically everything in the universe, in the life of all conditioned soul, in all 18 planetary system, no, I mean 14 planetary system, and everything is under complete control of Krishna. So everything what is going on in every particle life of every living 8,400,000 species of life of every living being under its complete control and sanction of Krishna. That is really mind-blowing. I mean, just think about so in case of devotees, you know, Krishna is in a charge of our life. So according with our surrendering, there is also some rules and regulations, what's going on in according to Bhagavad Gita. Everything has some rules, three modes, material nature. So according to our surrendering, Krishna give us some kind of mercy and, you know, change our situation. And if you go deeply into that, it's completely different from ordinary living being who are completely under control of material nature and just under control of their destiny and karma. But our situation is quite much favorable. And so even spiritual world actually is always some kind of rules and regulations. So when you read Bhagavad Gita, actually you try to imply all these rules, instructions from Krishna, and instruction from purport, from illuminating instruction from Srila Prabhupada. And just think about even in spiritual world, there are actually rules, regulations, but ruled by love, pure love for God. So even there, you know, there is, you know, you have particular spiritual body, and you're in, you know, under maybe control some other more advanced devotee, and you serve Krishna humbly, but it's all some kind also with love and devotion, some rules is there going on, you know, if you read this more esoteric book. So there is also verse like 15:15 in a translation purport is so nice. Can be relished by new bhaktas and even by like premi bhaktas, you know, like rasika bhaktas, pure devotee, like the 15:15, the yoga, the supreme person. I am situated in everyone's heart, and from me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. By all the Vedas, I am to be known. Indeed, I am the compiler of the Vedanta. I am the knower of the Vedas. All 18:61. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities who are situated as in a machine made of material energy. There is a line in purport. So my point is the point of relishing. You know, it is good to memorize 700 verses. I know some people, you know, who know 700 verses, quite few, and they can repeat, and I actually wanted to do that. Give me your mercy. I don't know, in this lifetime, I wanted actually to be also more scholarly. To relish them what's going on, actually, we start to purify ourselves and depend on our capacity to surrender to this degree that Krishna gives us this medicine, this purification, our heart. Ultimate goal is to, you know, when you get Satchitananda Vigraha, you know everything, you know, but in meantime, we need, you know, this verse, that verse, we need all these books, we need association with devotees. So here also in a purport of this verse is explain how actually Arjuna again is some kind of like bewildered, you know, in his speech. You know, he said, "O Emperor, I am separate from my friend and dear most well-wisher, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore my heart appears to be void of everything." Just think about later on in some other verses explain actually then this is also kind of bewildered, you know, how Krishna can be separate. You know, he's pure devotee, he always think about Krishna. So in the beginning of Kurukshetra war, you know, Krishna put him in illusion, then Bhagavad Gita can be spoken, you know, to actually, you can say, his alignment, and ultimately alignment all of us, all living being in this universe. And so, because we know, you know, Krishna is in some sense everywhere, and Krishna is everything. This one Bhagavad Gita, every verse in Bhagavad Gita come to this conclusion, and everything what we see is Krishna. In some sense, it's only one person here in this material and spiritual universe. Prabhupada also said it's just one person, every other person of him. So everything is Krishna, basically. So, you know, to come to this understanding, so we have to put Krishna in our heart, so we have to kick out all this, even little small trace of, you know, lust, anger, envy, all these things. And what is from time immemorial there, and when we read these books, we realize, oh, I have still all these things, so, but we should completely be convinced this will be clear up, you know, Krishna will do that. So, I sometimes like to mention, some statement Prabhupada said that is even three books is enough for you, probably you hear about that, to go home back to Godhead. He said, even one of them, if you read them all the rest of your life and you memorize them or realize to some degree, Krishna, Prabhupada said, this is ticket, you go home back to Godhead. This lifetime, I read it. He said, probably you know, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna book, Nectar Devotion. So, you see, so to relish this Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, as Prabhupada said, the basic is actually Bhagavad Gita is basic. So, to relish Srimad Bhagavatam, you should first relish Bhagavad Gita every day, try to read, you know. And in Krishna book, he put everything, you know, he put philosophy, and so even in topmost Lilas, you know, some Krishna book, everything is there. And Nectar Devotion is topmost devotional book, you can say. I just yesterday I was watching one video from San Jose Temple, and it was Lee video, and there was Satchinandana Maharaj. I met him a long time ago. He was my great inspiration, and he was with Vaisheshika Prabhu, and he's giving some seminar about holy name there, and. So he was saying how, you know, one time he was reading Srimad Bhagavatam, and one word in a purport Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, just one shloka so struck him, you know, and you know, like somebody gave you magnified glasses, you know, to see, wow, you know, this is for me, you see. So this is actually purport of you know, our chanting, our reading. Oh, now this is for me. This is what I have to, you know, purify. This is what I just realized just now, you see. And this is what Krishna is giving you, you know. This is the way how to keep it that like jewel what lead you to develop love of God. So I want to also just go over some very illuminated, some kind of concise, like overview of all Bhagavad Gita. There is one Sanskrit scholar. He was here. What's his name? Another Keshava Prabhu. He's Indian. He live in New. He live in north from New Delhi, and he was here. He was giving class, and I just write down here. I have to read a little bit. Just few words about all Bhagavad Gita. What does it mean here? You see. So we have like observing the armies and battle of Kurukshetra. So basically, Arjuna's misconception of giving preference to morality instead of devotion is the essence of this chapter. Is it? Because, you know, when you read Bhagavad Gita, I just repeat this essence. If somebody knows Bhagavad Gita, he will understand. It's not time to go into detail. And I didn't go into detail also, didn't prepare myself. Oh, yeah, time. Okay, another one is like contents of the Gita summarized when it's actually is giving knowledge of the soul and morality works on the level of the body. So, logic of mind, you know, so, giving knowledge of the soul, what is about the body. Karma Yoga chapter 3 is like practical knowledge bringing to life second chapter, so implying knowledge, Karma Yoga. Implying knowledge. And there is mentioned something about Maya. There is two means of Maya, illusion and mercy. So this world is like your enemy actually teach you how to fight. On number four is like transcendental knowledge, give you wisdom. Actually, after knowledge come wisdom, realization. On chapter 5 is easy to get wisdom. Chapter 5 is karma yoga, action in Krishna consciousness. Easy to get wisdom, but it's difficult protecting wisdom. Like act in Krishna consciousness, so protect realization. So wisdom plus realization is like, you know, child, you have to be protected. You have wisdom, you get a little bit of realization, so it has to be protected. So Dhyana Yoga, this chapter 6, is about attention, realization of attention. Principle is to be attentive, always on a goal. Like attention actually means enthusiasm, to be attentive. Proper use of intelligence is to be attentive. You know, assumption then I know, you know, I know is, I know Bhagavad Gita, you know, this problem on conditioned soul, you know. So this difference between I know and you realize something by, you know, deep intention what you're reading. Chapter 7 is revelation and gradual revelation until chapter 11. This is knowledge of absolutes, attaining the supreme, chapter 8. Chapter 9, the most confidential knowledge. Chapter 10, the opulence of the absolute. And chapter 11, universal form. And there is an amazing statement here that if we follow 6 chapters of Krishna, Krishna will reveal his name, form, pastimes in his name. So somehow, if you read and realize, you know, first 6 chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, you know, sometimes when he chants, where is this pastimes? So, you know, I cannot think about pastimes. You know, my mind is everywhere. Where I will come to this stage? So there is tool here to understand. First, you realize. First 6 chapters of Bhagavad Gita on the Krishna's. So basically, after that. From 6th chapter until 11th, everything, until first 6th chapter, you walk on your own. You have to work on your, realize then your soul. You have to act on that. You have to fight your, you have to do your last anger, envy, all these things. And later on, Krishna give you all this, no, attaining the supreme, how to do that, most confidential knowledge, how to realize that absolute, how you can see Krishna all the time. So, after that, the devotional series, chapter 12 is actually revelation, Shrimati Radharani, because speak about Bhakti Yoga, this internal energy is actually Shrimati Radharani. And on chapter 13 and 14 is like obstacles in devotional service. You know, three modes of material nature. On that you have the Yoga Supreme, how to overcome the obstacles. And chapter 16 is what is the result of practicing. You know, you start to develop demonic qualities. If you practice to develop devotional qualities. Otherwise, you will have demonic qualities. In chapter 17, something about attitude, what kind of attitudes we have to have. And in chapter 18 is abandon everything, just surrender to me. What does it mean? Is Krishna make sure that you know everything, understand everything, all other chapters. You know, all other chapters of Bhagavad Gita. And this way, you are sure to preach. You have power to preach all 18 chapters of Bhagavad Gita. To preach. So now I read something about Jayananda Prabhu. This today is his disappearance. Okay, the life of Jayananda Prabhu from Kalakanta Dasa. After this, the disappearance of Jayananda Das on May 1st, 1977, His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada instructed devotees all over the world to commemorate the event every year as they would any great Vaishnava's disappearance day. Therefore, we respectfully submit these pages. Although I don't need to read that. I will just read here again. Jayananda's beginnings in Krishna's Krishna consciousness. Jayananda was the all-American boy, handsome, strong, intelligent, born in a more than a middle-class family. Jayananda Jim Kaur, real name, took a degree in mechanical engineering from Ohio State University. With a background like that, it is surprising that Jayananda ended up as a cab driver in San Francisco. Karandara once asked him why he didn't get a better paying job. "I didn't fit in with the upper class crowd," he said. Always introspective in nature, Jayananda felt empty and unsatisfied within himself during his college years. He would often say that he was never happy before joining Krishna consciousness. His depression was almost suicidal. When in 1967 he read a small article in San Francisco paper about an Indian Swami who had come to the Bay Area to propagate the chanting of the names of God. Jayananda recalled feeling a ray of hope when he read that article. Thinking that Swami may have something to offer, Jayananda made up his mind to attend the Swami's lectures. Srila Prabhupada's early lectures in the Bay Area were mostly attended by hippies, and Jayananda was one of the only straight people there. Jayananda later recalled that, "I wasn't much of a religionist, but I was attracted to Srila Prabhupada." Did you understand my English? It's okay. I speak too fast. Okay. "He was especially fond of attending the early morning lectures because at that hour, most of the hippies will be in the bed. On some occasion, Jayananda will be the only guest listening to Srila Prabhupada speak from the Bhagavatam." Srila Prabhupada was always fond of Jayananda, and sometimes he will invite his budding disciple to take prasad with him in his room. "Srila Prabhupada will cook prasad and serve me," Jayananda recalled. "He didn't say anything. He just kept feeding me, and I kept eating." Jayananda soon donated his life savings of $5,000 to Srila Prabhupada to help His Divine Grace print the Bhagavad Gita as it is. As more and more devotees joined ISKCON in Bay Area, Jayananda continued to work as a cab driver and supported the temple by contributing all of his earrings. Earrings, yes. No earrings. Jayananda's attraction for the process of Krishna consciousness. Chandan Acharya Prabhu remembers this special feature about Jayananda. He was completely enamored by Krishna consciousness, even when he'd go out on incense runs or by himself. He would rise every morning before 4, have a little Mangal Arati, chant all his rounds, read and cook prasad. He never deviated. He loved it. He was completely happy as long as he was practicing Krishna consciousness. Take prasadam, for example. Jayananda worshipped prasadam. When a little prasad spoils on the floor, he will always bend down on all fours and lick it up. He loves to cook, offer, distribute, and eat prasadam in a big way. He will always take prasadam with him and distribute it. Whatever he was making at Bogaran, buying bulk foods from the market, or taking a chanting party downtown, he would even say prasadam in a special way that made you immediately want to take some. Jainanda knew how to attract people to Krishna consciousness with a prasadam weapon. When a new devotee came, for example, Jainanda would see to it that he was subsequently fed with prasadam. When Jambavan Das was just becoming devotee, Jainanda would bring him a plate of prasadam so big that he thought he could never eat at all. When he finally did finish the plate, Jainanda immediately put in an identical plate down before him. "I cannot eat that," said Jambavan. "Srila Prabhupada said that we should eat it till we waddle like a duck." "Yeah, waddle like a duck," said Jainanda. Jambavan will finish the second plate. Of course, Jainanda himself could be found honoring large quantities of prasadam any time, day or night. He was the kind of devotee who will come up to you at 10 o'clock with some peanut butter, halwa, and say, "Hey, Prabhu, come here, check this out." Another example of his attachment to Krishna consciousness is Jainanda's love for kirtan, chanting. Jainanda was always eager to take the whole temple out on Harinam chanting parties. He had a special attraction for chanting in the streets. Whether kirtan was held in the temple or in the street, Jainanda could always be seen dancing and chanting enthusiastically. When he was making Maharaj Das into devotee, Jainanda would visit his house and have big kirtans. Even if there were only two of them, they would jump and chant, "Nitai Gaur, Haribol." Also, Karandara recalls how one day, after working very hard for 10 hours straight, Jainanda suddenly announced, "Hey, it is 10 to 7, let's go to Artik." Everyone else was so tired that Artik was the last thing on their minds, but Jainanda quickly jumped into shower and then bounced down to the temple room for Artik. Of all the processes of Krishna consciousness, Jainanda was most attached to preaching. Whether it was during the Sunday feast, while making incense runs, or while building Ratha-Artha cards, Jainanda was always trying to find some person with whom he could share his ecstasy in Krishna consciousness. His preaching was very simple and easy to listen to. We just have to keep chanting and have faith in the name. We just have to chant and take prasadam. Srila Prabhupada is so kind to give us such a simple process. Karandara remembers how Jainanda preached to him on his first day in a temple. As they worked together preparing a little garden for Srila Prabhupada at the old Los Angeles temple, Jainanda said, "You know, things don't always go just right in Krishna consciousness. You have to keep chanting." At the time, Karandara could imagine how anything could go wrong in Krishna service. Years later, however, as he found himself still remembering those words, Karandara could appreciate the real potency of what Jainanda has said. "So many things may come and go, just have faith in the name." Jainanda's preaching was very attractive for the non-devotees. Chandanacharya recalls seeing Jainanda engaged in preaching late one night. It was 11:30 and Jainanda was up fixing a broken-down Sankirtan van. As he lay down on his back working under the van, he preached to two hippies who were standing nearby. All they could see of him was a pair of legs, but they stood by listening, completely absorbed as Jainanda worked and preached away. As soon as he felt a person was at all ready, Jainanda would preach to him about chanting and about Srila Prabhupada. There was no protocol or strict etiquette, just sincere and confidential glorification of Krishna. True to his character, Jainanda was often seen preaching to guests from his wheelchair even during his last day in this world. Devotees who knew him could tell from a distance exactly what he was saying. You just have to have faith in a name. Jainanda's humility was certainly Jainanda's most prominent quality. He treated everyone as his superior, even new devotees. Maharaj Das remembers that Jainanda was always asking his advice. "Hey, Bhakta Mike, what do you think of this?" Although his service was glorious, he never wanted any glory. He avoided praise like the plague. Devotees got to know that if they wanted to be around him, they'd better not praise Jainanda. Otherwise, he would simply leave. Once when he was with Dhanavir, someone came to Jainananda and began praising him. Jainananda just ignored it. Later on, he turned to Dhanavir and said, "You know, if you've been around this moment a few years, people naturally offer you some respect." Not that his service or qualities were so great. He just was around a few years, was his humble thinking. If he ever spoke about himself at all, Jainananda would speak so humbly that Lochan thus recalls, "It was difficult not to think of yourself as being better than him. If you had any reason to be puffed up, Jainananda will bring it out in you." Feeling himself unworthy, he will step aside so that others could lead kirtan, give classes, or do aerobic. Instead, he could be found fixing cars, unplugging toilets, washing dishes, or taking out trash. Once a new boy came to visit the San Francisco temple, he wanted to help, so Keshava Dasa sent him to trash area where Jainananda was preparing the weekly trash run. Jainananda told the boy, "I'm garbage man around here. For years I've been watching garbage men carry out trash, and now Krishna is giving me a chance to do this for him." The boy not only helped load the trash, but accompanied Jainananda to the garbage dump. Later that boy became devotee and he recalled thinking, "If the garbage man at this temple can be so blissful, just imagine what the rest of devotees are like." Kanandara recalls another incident of Jainananda's humility. "One day before Ratha Yatra, I spent the whole day running around with Jainananda. By the time we got back to the temple, it was midnight. The whole building was so crowded that we couldn't find any space to lay down. Finally, we find room in one little storage closet. I was so tired that all I could do was throw my sleeping bag on the floor and lay down. Then I saw Jainananda walking out of the room. I asked him, 'Where are you going?' He said, 'He'll be right back,' but I keep pressing him, and finally he explained and he had some rounds of japa chanting to finish up. He didn't want to keep me awake by chanting in our room, nor did he want me to feel bad because he was going out to do something else. He just wanted to slip away to some corner and fulfill his vow. I remember saying, 'Sometimes it's not possible to finish all one's rounds because there is so much work to do.' 'That's okay, I'm not too tired,' Jainananda replied. I was amazed not only by his consideration for me, but by his full submission to Srila Prabhupada. Although perfectly qualified, Jainananda was reluctant to take a post as temple president or sannyasi. It was not that he wouldn't or couldn't do it. He would do whatever was asked for him. He was happiest just to be working under someone. In this way, he was the backbone of the Bay Area ISKCON temple for years. Through frequently changing administration, he would always faithfully serve the acting temple president. He was very special, and yet no one paid any special attention to him. That was just the way he liked things. Jainananda was always ready to do whatever was necessary to push on Krishna consciousness. He was expert at everything: cooking, preaching, deity worship, public relations, sankirtan, selling incense, construction, and everything else it takes to run a temple. He was a tireless worker. He would be the first one up in the morning and the last one to sleep at night. It was Jainananda who was always running out to gather flowers, Jainananda who was washing dishes and making sure the kitchen was clean, Jainananda who was often missing class while he was out doing some service, and Jainananda who was always encouraging others to go out and preach and set an example himself. Whatever assignment he was given, he would always get done, even if he had to suffer personally for it. No matter how hard he was working, he would never stop for a nap during the day. He seemed to be inexhaustible. Okay. Jambavan Prabhu remembers that many times the San Francisco devotees will go out to Berkeley to distribute the leftover prasadam after the Sunday feast. First, Jainananda will be in a kitchen cleaning. Then someone will say, "Hey, how about this leftover prasadam?" Jainananda will say, "Okay, first let's get this kitchen clean." He will organize the cleanup crew and then work twice as hard as anybody. Then he will transfer the prasad, load it, and the devotees in the van, drive went to the Berkeley, organize this distribution of prasad and lead the kirtan while we distributed. In late years, when he was with Radha Damodar traveling sankirtan party, Jainananda will help manage and sustain the traveling bus program and simultaneously do all the day sankirtan day in and day out, side by side with brahmacharis scarcely half his age. In spite of his advanced position and seniority, he never asked for any special treatment. Leading devotees will often describe him as the most advanced devotee in the moment. Jainanda's freedom from four findings. Those who know Jainanda always notice one remarkable quality about him. He could not criticize others. It was against his nature. Even if his devotee did something which warranted criticism, Jainanda will usually say nothing, or else something that made the mistake appear to be perfectly understandable. No matter who was giving class or leading kirtan, he will always appreciate it. He never spoke harsh words or chastised anybody. If one devotee was criticizing another within earshot of Jainanda, Jainanda would simply leave. Rather than criticize others, Jainanda will contribute nothing less than positive Krishna conscience energy to any situation. Sometimes devotees will bring up their expensive aspiration for spreading Krishna consciousness. Jainanda will always encourage their ideas, however extraordinary. At the same time, he was not a fool. He could always pick the right man to do a particular duty. Because he knew how to encourage people, the temple leaders will always assign new men to work with Jainanda. He saw no distinction between new devotee and old devotee. Both were his superiors. He could quickly give a new man a sense of identity and feeling that he belongs to Krishna consciousness. A true Vaishnava, he was expert in feigning any little spark of Krishna consciousness into big fire. Few will dispute the claim that Jainanda made more devotees and held more poor throat than anyone else in the moment. Dear to everyone, is it more time to read? Or just maybe 1, 2, oh my god, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Maybe just a little bit. Okay, maybe. Oh, well, I can stop anyway. Oh, if he's here. Oh, you can read. I'm sorry, I should also tell to somebody else. You know.
These batteries did. Hare Krishna. Thank you for reading very nicely, Jainanda Prabhu. A very sincere devotee to Srila Prabhupada's movement. He was there in the very beginning. This is a letter that Srila Prabhupada personally wrote on the passing away of Jainanda, so I'll just read it. My dear Jainanda, please accept my blessings. I'm feeling very intensely